We've been looking forward to this next segment here. We've been planning for the last couple of weeks here, and we appreciate this gentleman working us into his schedule. Somebody who really is doing a lot of very interesting things right now in his career. He has returned to his educational roots with some of the teaching that he's been doing at George Mason University. He's now working for the NFL Network as well. In his most visible role at the moment, he's on the NFL Today on CBS every Sunday as the inside information reporter, and he's drawing upon his background in order to do this. It's a non-traditional background for this role. As opposed to being an outsider from the world of journalism, he approaches it as an insider, as somebody who has made these phone calls previously as a member of that club, if you will. I speak, of course, of Charlie Casserly of CBS Sports. Charlie, it's a pleasure to have you on the FDH Lounge tonight, sir. How are you?
Great. How you guys doing?
Oh, fine, thanks. It's a pleasure to have you on. I tell you what, this has been in the works for a couple weeks now for booking you. I had a feeling that when we did, that there would be something pretty newsworthy that you had broken to talk about, and indeed that has happened. So let's go there. It's been one of the bigger stories of the season thus far. Inside account, really, of how push came to shove in the final days of Randy Moss in New England there, and a tiff between Randy Moss and Tom Brady, of all things, over one another's facial hair. An unbelievable story that you had broken, and really quite an insight onto the mindset of the modern player.
Well, the main thing what I have said is that the two of them got into a confrontation, verbal, not physical.
Sure.
Toe-to-toe, and it centered on well, one of the topics was Brady complaining about Moss's behavior as a Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the line that everybody picked up on, which wasn't really the main emphasis of what I made, but it's the line people picked up on, is, Brady told Moss he needed to cut his beard, and Moss countered and said, hey, you need to cut your hair. You look like a girl. So, but that was, how much that entered into making the trade, I can't determine that. Only the Patriots can. I think at the end of the day, the Patriots probably got to a point that Moss had worn thin on them. They weren't going to sign him into the future. They could get a third-round draft choice for him, a hard third, and take it and go. And they felt that they're a good enough team that they can keep going forward. And, they went out and beat Baltimore Sunday. So, and they beat Miami. And though he didn't have a big impact in the game, he did play. So now they'll be a different team and going forward. Baltimore was at a disadvantage because they went into the game cold, not knowing what New England was going to do. As the season goes on, people are going to be able to game plan for it in New England, and that'll be the challenge of how New England adjusts to the different game plans they see once people see what their offense is going to look like without Moss.
Absolutely, and that's been some real heavy speculation thus far about what's it going to do when you take away that deep threat. I know that watching our local team, the Cleveland Browns, that really was the story last year with Braylon Edwards, that for all of his foibles, he was at least able to stretch the field. These wide receivers and tight ends really haven't been able to function in his absence. Now, New England's got a much better crew that's left behind, and they've got tight end Hernandez able to work the middle of the field. But what do you think the impact is going to be as far as Brady being forced to change up the offensive game in the absence of that deep threat?
Well, Sunday they Hernandez and Welker got the ball. They ran the ball effectively with Woodhead. The one thing that's not going to change is Tom Brady, and that's a guy that is hard to defend in this sense because he's such a smart guy. He can read the defense. He can move the ball around. He can hit the first, second, or third option, and he can be very accurate with the football. So, really, Brady is the glue that holds all that together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If there's one guy that's going to be able to maximize the weapons, that would be him. I agree with you. As far as the nature of your role at CBS, as I alluded in the introduction, it's very interesting because your peers that are doing the job on other networks here, again, they've come from the more traditional world of journalism. And for CBS to have gone this route, for somebody that's been an insider and that's used to walking these corridors himself, it's a really fascinating thing to see. Talk about how this came to be as far as you and CBS coming to terms on this, and how the experience has gone for you, and if it's maybe been any different than what you might have expected.
Well, I don't know if it's any different than what I expected, because I wasn't, I had an idea what the role was going to be like, but it's evolved through the years And CBS is, I think, is the best place in television to work. The outstanding people I work with, and they kind of work to your strengths. In other words, having been a guy who's been involved with scouting talent, looking at tapes, we obviously do some segments on that. I have some prepared every week. Sometimes we use them, sometimes we don't. Depends on what else we want to talk about. The experience on a competition committee and rules, experience making trades. So, you know, we look at things from many different angles in addition to, obviously, from the news end. So, but most of the things we can talk about it from the angle of, okay, what is happening? But, you know, how did you handle this? How was it handled in the past? So you have that perspective on things.
It is very interesting, and as you say, yeah, they've been very good at utilizing you in the different roles that you've had. Something that in your experience as an insider that struck me as well, in terms of your tenure as a general manager, both the stint with the Super Bowls in Washington and the last of the Super Bowls, of course, being with you as the general manager, and then with working in Houston, it struck me that you've had a chance to work for both the old line ownership and some of this new breed that we've seen in the league that we've heard about predominantly over the last 15 years or so. So what insights about having worked for the different kinds of owners, both the old line and the newer breed, have you brought to this job, and how has that helped you in terms of talking about the state of the league today?
Well, I think that all of them want to win. I think some get more involved than others in the day-to-day process. And I'm not so sure the old line has been more involved when they were younger. Mm-hmm. I think that probably is a fair statement there. But in every situation, I thought there was good communication with the ownership. I thought there was a commitment to win, which is important. And, you know, you just adjust to different personalities. That's all you do there.
As far as your career and your ascension in Washington to when you were ultimately running the show, you very strikingly were under some of the great thinkers of the modern era here, whether it be George Allen, whether it be Bobby Beathard. Talk about what it was like to be a part of the culture of that organization and really what you took from some of the very strong personalities you worked for and worked with.
Well, it's a very special place to work in the National Football League. I don't think there's a better franchise when you combine the historical nature of it, the championships, and where it is in the NFL. Longest consecutive sellout streak in NFL history. So right away, and it started before the Redskins ever started winning. And it started back in the mid-60s. You know, with George Allen, a very analytical guy, very well, you know, not so much as organized, though he was organized, just analytical. Was a guy that always was looking for an edge, master of individual motivation. So those are the things there. I think Joe Gibbs learned tremendous amount of the game of football from him, both from a technical point of view and an organizational point of view, managing people, outstanding there. Bobby Beathard, a tremendous talent evaluator, learned a lot about independent thinking, making your own decisions, going against the grain. Great human being to work for. So, you know, I was very privileged there. I worked with three Hall of Fame people. Two were in the Hall of Fame, and Bobby Beathard should be in the Hall of Fame. So I was very blessed to be able to have the opportunity to work with people like that.
Oh, absolutely, and I agree with you about Bobby Beathard. What an amazing organizational job he had done. In terms of, I find it to be very interesting the way that you rose up in that organization there. Originally, from the status basically of intern and going through the organization, and it struck me that what you were able to do there and then subsequently in Houston was work your own experiences into that in terms of teaching and mentoring others. And subsequently, after you left the general manager world, you've gone back into education, so you've kind of come full circle in that. So talk about how your educational background has really played a part over time here in how you've worked with and looked to mentor other people.
Well, I think that I started as an intern, unpaid intern with the Redskins. And once I got my first paycheck after 8 months, I gave it away to the various people that helped me, and probably the person that mentored me the most. He wouldn't take the money, and he said, no, that's not the idea. Your job is to go help somebody else now. So I took that to heart, and when I was able to start an intern program with the Redskins, I did. and gave a lot of young people a chance, just like somebody gave me a chance. In fact, the first intern I ever had was Steve Spagnuolo. He's now the head coach of the Rams. But we've had a lot of interns that have gone on and been very successful, both in football and in other sports. And it was always the idea of giving a young person a chance, but not just letting them walk in the door, but give them a meaningful experience when he's there. Treat him as an employee, give him a chance to learn, and then when he leaves, try to help him. So it was all of those things that that we tried to take forward. And I always took the intern program very seriously. Make sure we always had high-quality young men and women coming in to give them a chance. And that's part of one of the courses I teach is centered around mentoring young people on how to be successful in the workplace.
Well, actually, Charlie, and until I was, as I was preparing for the interview with you, I saw in this New York Times piece, I hadn't put two and two together, actually. You just mentioned Steve Spagnuolo, but that he had been underneath you at one point in time there. And I have to say, independent of that, he's somebody that I've really been impressed with the last couple of years in the league, starting when he was a coordinator with the Giants. I had heard very good things about him from talking to some New York media people, and they said, you know, you keep an eye on this guy. He's really going places. And it really looks like it's being the case right now in St. Louis. Nobody really expected a whole heck of a lot from them this year, and you could argue that maybe they're doing it a little bit ahead of schedule, but it's been one of the great surprises in the league. But again, knowing him as you do, maybe not as big of a surprise to you.
I think the guy's a terrific coach. I think he's got a terrific way with players where he gets them to play hard and gets them to believe in what he's doing, and that's the secret of coaching. Now, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but at the end of the day, that's what you have to do. And it would not surprise me if the Rams won that division this year, and which would be a tremendous accomplishment considering they've had injuries at receiver. They've got a rookie quarterback, and the team is just dramatically better this year in his second year. And defensively, they're really playing well. It wasn't a fluke them beating San Diego with the defensive performance they had last week. So, the guy, I think, is a tremendous coach when he's with the Giants. He's a better defensive. There's a lot of credit for the Super Bowl win in the Super Bowl championship. So, I think that ownership is patient and lets him work with that team and follow through with him. He's going to win a championship in St. Louis.
Yeah, I think they're definitely on the way based on how they've been playing thus far and developing. And, you know, that's indicative of a sound philosophy if they stick with him. In terms of philosophy also, Charlie, I'd just like to know about yours a little bit and as far as kind of keeping equanimity in the face of public opinion. And I'll tell you, you know, cards on the table, I believe in accountability. I was one of the guys back in 06 that was scratching my head on the Mario Williams thing here and at least maybe trading down a spot or two if you were going to take him. But I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, you were right, the rest of us were wrong, and yet, you know, I've never seen you out there one time beating your chest about this. You've really kind of taken it in stride. I mean, is it easy for you to kind of take things in stride even when you're proven right, or do you have to kind of fight to keep from pointing a finger and saying, I told you so?
No, you don't do that. You just move on with it. What I felt bad for was Mario Williams. I thought any criticism of him was wrong. I mean, he's 20 years old coming out of college. He's the first pick in the draft. It should be a thrill of his life. And then people were, you know, booing him. And I thought that was wrong. Played his first year. He was injured. He could never practice just playing the games. He's playing through injuries. And he's doing a lot of good things. And people are criticizing him at that point. So I felt bad for him. For myself, I didn't worry about any of that. I was just happy that it worked out for him.
You know, I that's a good point, too, as far as people booing him and everything like that. I mean, that's something that just has always struck me as being very counterproductive. Or even if it's, you know, booing your team, it's one thing if they're kind of obviously laying down, and I suppose there's examples we can point to, you know, in the history of the league where that's happened. But short of that, just really getting on your own team in such a manner just strikes me as being, you know, the very epitome of something that's counterproductive.
No, I agree. You know, I always look back to the Donovan McNabb situation that happened in Cleveland, Cleveland in Philadelphia, where, you know, he was booed on his draft day. And I always thought that if I was ever in that position, I would take the approach that I'll turn the boos on me, okay?
Yeah.
And try to keep him off the player. And that was what I did. I tried to shield him as much as I could.
And it was, and he's turned out to have, really a heck of a career, Mario Williams. He's done very well there and just been one of the most explosive players off of the edge out there. As far as great young athletes also, I have to mention this because I understand you are, am I correct that you're a season ticket holder for the Washington Nationals?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay, all right.
We enjoy going, and, baseball's kind of something we have fun at. And it's relaxing to watch it. It's a great stadium. You got some good young players, so it's a fun thing to do for recreation.
Oh, sure, yeah. We had a couple weeks ago on the show Greg Vaughn, and his son played with him at San Diego State with Steven Strasburg, and he was talking about that and, what a good young guy he is. I mean, I imagine something like that, Bryce Harper on the way. These are the kind of things that have really got to be transformative for you as a fan, really, to have that kind of hope on the horizon, even with Strasburg's setback.
Well, he was an exciting guy to watch, and the fans really took to him and loved him. And, of course, you got a guy like Harper that's got tremendous potential. We probably won't see him next year, but maybe then in 2012 we'll see him when Strasburg comes back. And so that's the exciting part. You're a fan. You can go there when you leave. You don't have to worry about winning or losing. Just enjoy it and watch the young guys develop. So we have fun with it.
Oh, yeah, that looks like a great park. I definitely would like to get there someday. It looks really sweet on TV. As far as everything that you're doing right now, it does look like you're really getting to indulge in a lot of things that are of great interest to you, whether it be returning to education as you have or doing the work with the NFL Network, everything with CBS with the NFL Today. I'm curious about if it's easier for you because you've been to the top of the mountaintop. We see so many guys who can't stay away from executive positions who just want to keep going back. Bill Parcells is just the most obvious example right there, and he's been a guy who's had the Super Bowl, and it's still is not enough to sate that. In your case, I mean, it's hard to look at this from an alternate universe perspective because you have won it, but do you think if you hadn't that hunger to stay in it would still be greater?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I left at a time I thought was the right time to leave. And when it's television, I enjoy this. You never say never about going back. But I think that it's the type of thing you want to win a championship, and everyone's driven by it. But I think you have to understand is, are you in a situation where you can win a championship and don't stay longer than you should in a place? So, there's a lot of other factors that go into it.
Oh, absolutely. And as far as just taking a look here to kind of bring things full circle at some of the bigger storylines in the league as we're approaching midseason, when you're getting your preparation together on a week-to-week basis, what do you think have been some of the most important developments over the first 2 months of the season, things that are really going to affect the league going forward toward the end?
Well, I think you have tremendous balance in the league, which is an exciting thing. Because I think all of the division races are wide open, and probably going into December, they're probably still wide open. So I think that's the exciting thing, is every week there's a number of games that you can't wait to see. And I think from the fans' point of view, that's great. And probably that is one of the reasons your TV ratings are seem to be breaking records this year, records that, were broken last year. So, that's the most exciting thing I think you got going, the great competitiveness you have week in and week out.
Absolutely, and I think it's probably exceeded the expectations of a lot of people with less separation than that. But Charlie, we like to give our guests a chance to plug anything here at the end of the show. We're at the end of the segment. We have up on our rundown here tonight, we have a link to your page at athletepromotions.com. I know that you're available for speaking bookings through there. If there's anything at all that you'd like to plug, sir, please go right ahead.
No, we don't. We just I hope the fans enjoy the NFL. And keep watching it. It's an exciting league, and I think that everyone's going to enjoy the finish of this season because it's absolutely totally unpredictable. And appreciate you having me with me, being with you tonight.
Well, Charlie, it was our pleasure. You really broke things down so well for us. I know that the audience really enjoyed it. It was our pleasure, sir. We'd love to have you back anytime.
All right. Well, good to be with you.
Thank you very much, Charlie. Charlie Casserly, everybody, from CBS Sports, the NFL Today. And, What a tremendous time to get to talk to him.
He's a class guy, too.
Oh,
he's a really classy guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he just, and you could tell, too, and I, you know, when I gave him the chance on Mario Williams, I knew he wasn't going to gloat about that. But, you know, hey, that was...
You had to give him that chance, though.
You know, I had to,
And I think he appreciates the fact that you know that he knows he was right all along about Mario Williams.
Well, I came correct,
Let me ask you something. Yeah. Who'd you rather have today, Mario Williams or Reggie Bush?
Mario Williams, but I'll tell you what. It was really, really weird last year in the playoffs. I'm trying to think of which game it was. I think it was the Arizona game.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable because Reggie Bush had a game running between the tackles, which is something that he hasn't really done, and in a physical way. He actually, I think one time, like stiff-armed somebody, kind of ran him over. We saw for one game what that guy can do, and I remember talking to vaunted FDH senior editor Jason Jones about this and saying, that's the guy we thought we were going to see. You know, so we've only ever seen it in that flash.
Yeah.
You know, and he still remains, you know, it's one of the most, damning with faint praise things you could say. Very dangerous in space, you know, which means you can take him out of the game if you want to, pretty much. Just ask Jerome Harrison about that when the other team knows you're going to do it.
And he is a Heisman Never mind. Sorry about that.
From Reggie Bush to Vince Young to I guess it's not like President Pro Tem of the Senate where it just goes to the next guy in line. Charlie, what a class act.
Tremendous.
That was wonderful. Love watching him on TV every week
and kudos to him for also breaking down the truth about Randy Moss and Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll believe Charlie Cassidy long before I'll believe anything that comes out of Randy Moss's mouth, Tom Brady's mouth, Bill Belichick's mouth, because you know what? Charlie Cassidy has got a reputation in this league.
And you know what? And I'm going to...
And he's not going to jeopardize his reputation by blatantly going out and saying something that's not true.
No, but having said that, that bit of information must have made Charlie's day, because I'll tell you what, and I wasn't going to bring this up here tonight. I wasn't going to tarnish the interview by invoking the name of Bill Belichick. We saw when he was coaching in Cleveland the man's penchant for classlessness and some of the things like that.
Yeah.
He's taken some shots over the years at Charlie, and all you got to do is kind of Google it to see. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
And he's very, very classy not to strike back at somebody who, you know, you can't take away what Belichick's done. Maybe the most successful coach.
Bill Belichick as a coach?
Yeah.
Tremendous. Bill Belichick as a human being?
Yeah.
Not so much.
No, not so much. And, I don't think humanity would miss a beat. The world of football would, but humanity wouldn't miss a beat.
No.
The next summer, if somebody doused that garbage bag with kerosene and set it on fire.
All right.
That's, not that anybody should. I'm not encouraging that.
All right.
So on that classy note, we're going to head into a break. We got coming up on the other side.
Unbelievable.
The stuff
that comes out of your mouth is just unbelievable.
Yeah, you never know. You absolutely never know. And that's why people need to stay tuned.